So, okay, let's start. I'm Giancarlo Luigi, and I'm delivering this course together with Professor Roberto Bevilacqua. He's there. So, first of all, I will give you some information about the course, the program, what we will be doing, where you can find material, and so on. Okay. So, as you know, the course is called Numerical Method and Optimization. Since originally it was in Italian, we used to call it MMO. In English, you should actually reverse the two first letters, but MMO is fine. Formally, the course has two instructors because formally it is made of two modules. Okay? But this for us is just from the bureaucratic and administrative point of view. For all of you, you have a unique course, unique in any sense, with a unique program, with a unique exam, just with two instructors, which will give you the lecture. For some lectures will be given by one, and then you will have the other, and then the first will come back to, and we will continue alternating through both semesters. Okay?
And a few modules are interrelated during
the year. So, for instance, from Friday, Professor Bevilacqua will start a series of lectures on background on linear algebra, numerical linear algebra, and then I will take his place and do some background on calculus, and then I will start with the first topic, and at a certain point, my topic ends where the expertise of Professor Bevilacqua comes into play. Okay? So, Professor Bevilacqua, as most of you know, is an expert on numerical analysis, while I deal with optimization, and we will hope that you will understand that the two topics are really extremely connected, and this is the reason why a few years ago we decided to deliver a unique course. So, formally, the course is to have CFU, Crediti Formativi Universitari, or in the European language, a European Credit Transfer System. We will talk a bit about the program in a few minutes. Though we are two, the exam is unique. When you will do your exam, you will face at the same time Professor Bevilacqua and me, and we will ask you questions together. Okay? And the exam is an oral discussion on topics. We will ask you questions. There you find oral test or oral tests, because we will give you the freedom to choose whether to face a unique test, a unique oral interrogation on the MOOC course, or two, related according to some rules you find on the web page. And so the rule is essentially you have to take the two tests in the same period. You cannot do first part in summer and then in December. Okay? Both in summer, both in autumn, both in winter. And the first one, we will not be divided according to our expertise, but according to the first part of the program and the second part of the program. So even if you have two tests, you choose two tests, you will face Professor Bevilacqua and me twice, both of them. Okay? Oh, I've been speaking too long before that. Is it back? Okay. So we have a web page, an English web page for the course. It is this one. Okay. You can take notice, or you can find it on the official page of the department in the teaching part. And also, we use Twitter to give announcements to the students. But you don't need necessarily to have Twitter, because there is an embedded frame in the web page. So people wishing to have immediately news on their mobile, on their computer, can use Twitter. Otherwise, it's enough to go to the web page and you will find the quiz there. So no need for that. Okay, further information on the web page. You will find also the recording of the lectures. Professor Bevilacqua and I will record the lectures, so that if you miss one or more lecture for some reason, and you have notes, you can record these lectures. Okay, so we have also scheduled office hours in the same afternoon of the week, so that on Thursday afternoon, so you will find both of us. Please come whenever you have something. Don't worry. I start a bit earlier, and Professor Bevilacqua starts a bit later, but we will be there all afternoon. If you want to send us emails, please add MNO in the subject. You will be sure to not be blocked by spam filters in that way. And also, please sign your messages. Okay? We will not answer to unknown messages from unknown people. Okay? A sign in the end, just to know who we are emailing with. Name and surname, no more details than that. No need of your ID number and so on. So, on the web page you will find the syllabus of the course, which is pretty long, but we will be having almost 100 hours together. And so I will be back to this, but essentially we are facing a few topics, iterative methods for linear and nonlinear systems, eigenvalues, computational eigenvalues. We don't have the fast Fourier transform yet. This is all the fast Fourier transform. And then a bit
one of the last topics will be FFT.
And theory and methods for optimization, and you will see the interconnection between the methods for linear and nonlinear system with the methods for optimization, both in the unconstrained and constrained way. And then we will devote some more relaxing lecture to show you some applications. I will be back to this in a few moments. So, why this course with two people teaching you things that you may have seen a separate subject in the past? Everyone here who has attended the undergraduate course has taken a course in numerical analysis, cultural and medical, and the course on partial non-optimization, ricerca operativa. It's two complete separate subjects with, in principle, no connection to subjects which try both to exploit mathematics and algorithmic frameworks, but separate. But indeed, there is a strong connection between the two subjects, which are actually both inside the same area of computational mathematics, essentially. And the reason that brought us a few years ago to have the idea of this joint course is the following image you have on the screen. Most of optimization problem under appropriate assumption and condition can be turned into a system of equation and or inequalities. So you can say solving this optimization problem is exactly the same thing as solving this system of equation, or solving this system of equation and inequalities. And vice versa, systems of equations and or inequalities can be turned into optimization problems. Okay? You can say also, I have this system of equations. I have these systems of inequality. I want to find values for the variables which satisfy all these inequalities. Actually, I can turn this into an optimization problem. And it is true that the solution method for optimization problems or for system of equations and inequalities are related. Because you can transform one to the other, clearly you can apply techniques for systems for solving optimization problems and vice versa. But there is something more than this, because actually some algorithmic techniques for systems have been then exploited to develop specific algorithms for optimization. And vice versa, algorithms that have been developed to solve optimization problems have given some keys to provide new methods for solving systems of equations and inequalities. You will see it in the next months. And indeed, the moment in which I will stop giving some lectures and Professor Bevilacqua will take my place, and vice versa, when he will stop lecturing and he will give me, how do you say, the stick for the man, for the following lecture, are justified exactly that by these reasons. In the first, after some preliminaries, in the first lot I will show you something of first part of dealing with optimization problems. I will not show you methods, I will arrive at the point in which that optimization problem becomes a system of equations, linear and nonlinear equations, and Professor Bevilacqua at that point will give you the tools to solve that. And these tools, these algorithms, then at a certain point will give me hints to develop further optimization algorithms, and so on. Okay? This relationship is particularly strong in the first semester, a bit less in the second, in which the connection is a bit more hidden. Still existing, but a bit more hidden. So, this is the reason why we choose to deliver a course together, rather than having students taking one or the other. So here you have some bibliography. There are some, don't worry, there are so many. We have given you also suggestion of free books in Italian. All the nine of them should be in the library. And indeed, our lecture will be not following exactly one of these textbooks. Though Professor Bevilacqua lectures will be mainly taken by selected chapters of these two books, 7 and 8 in the list. When I prepare the course, I take inspiration by books 4, 5, and 6 mainly, but I wrote down some lecture notes handwritten, so you will find the scan of my, at the moment, the scan of my writing. And now we are both translating all of this material into English, so as far as the course goes on, you will find updated material in English too. But if you prefer to read in Italian, you can do it with the chapters from these books and my old lectures notes in Italian. Okay? So this is something you have to take into account, since there are some copyright issues in particular with these two books. The web page is protected, so you need a login and a password to enter that page. You have the login there, and you have the password there. Okay? Password. If you forgot, you just knock at our door and we will provide it again. So, in that page you will find, at the moment, this slide for today. You will find selected chapters of these two books, okay? And my lectures notes in Italian, and a first draft of some lecture notes in English by Professor Bevilacqua.
The translation of the first of these selected chapters left chapters will be translated during the academic year. I will put on the webpage as soon as they will be for completeness, since the course is in English, we will most material.
Me too, but Professor Bevilacqua is ahead of me because he has already started while I haven't. Okay. But if you prefer Italian material, you have it too, and it's equivalent. Okay? Same contents. Clearly, in the future, when we have to make some updates and changes, we will do them directly to the English material. It doesn't touch you, but probably in a few years the Italian material will be no longer updated with the course contents. So, have you taken notes? Okay, so back to the syllabus, and then we start talking about something, and we start giving you some applications. Okay, so there is an incomplete list of applications in the syllabus, and from time to time we will stop doing theory and algorithms to show you some applications from many different fields. And if we have time, also we may address you to some software tools to code algorithms, or software who already incorporate algorithms that you can use. In particular, I will show you many examples exploiting MATLAB. Okay, I will not explain you the codes, but I will show you the results. But the code are generally 10 lines, pretty easy code. Yeah. So, the last issue, and then we begin, is that we need some further background with respect to your current knowledge. So the first set of lecture will be by Professor Bevilacqua from Friday, and he will give you some further background about linear algebra. Okay, something which is skipped in the undergraduate course at the second year because it's not used in the contents of the course, but which is there. Okay? And then after he ends the set of lecture, I will give you another, so I think there will be three or four lectures. And then I will give you, I guess, three lectures on calculus. Calculus is mathematical analysis, but as you will see, is needed is a relevant tool in optimization, And the point is the following. Now, in undergraduate in computer science, formally, you study just function of one variable. Okay? Optimization problems in one variable are pretty easy, generally. And almost no application is in one variable. Generally, applications are in true application in companies and industries are with thousands or millions of variables. So you need to know something about how to deal with function of several variables. Okay. So nowadays, in undergraduate courses in computer science, you don't have a course teaching you this stuff. I will not provide the proof. I will just give you the ideas and the tools and how to use them. Okay. Maybe some of you who studied in another university has studied the function of several variables, or not? No one?
Two variables.
Well, two is not more different than three and four, but you simply don't have the derivative. Okay, you to compute the information, you need the gradient, the more general concept of differentiability along direction or along curves. There is something to understand. Taylor formulas are more complex, and as you will see when we will prove results on optimization, Taylor formulas are the most relevant topic. You know, Taylor's formula, proofs are three lines. Okay? So, and after this double set of lectures on background, we will start the true topics of the course. Okay? So this is the shadow of what we plan to do. So, okay, I guess it's time to stop talking about stuff, and the idea for today is to give you the feeling of some simple applications, okay, rather than starting with lectures. So we will provide you 4 or 5 examples, 10-15 minutes each. First one deals with, indeed, both optimization and numerical methods for systems, and is one of the topics in which the interaction is more relevant. So, for a few years, I've been dedicating some effort to work on a committee here in the university to evaluate the scientific result of colleagues. One way to do it, since you have a huge number of papers, I would say more than 1,000, a committee cannot read that. Just to have an idea if people are working in the right way or not. One way is to rely on the journals in which their researches are published. Okay? And there are indices which try, with many defects, to estimate the quality of journals. Since I'm a mathematician, I've been dealing with mathematical journals. So an index is a number. The bigger the number is, the better the journal is, or should be. Okay. So, and we face, for instance, this problem. There are a few, and a couple of them were considered a pretty good measure. One is called Article Influence Score, and it is provided by the Institute for Scientific Information. The other one is called Mathematical Citation Quotient, and is given by the American Mathematical Society. Okay. So the question is, if there is a strong relationship between these two indexes, or if one index is saying this journal is very good and the other is saying this journal is very bad. Clearly, the two indexes are based on different ideas, are built in different ways, and also rely on different databases. So I tried I tried the following a few years ago. So go back to a few years ago. I had 509 journals for which I had both indexes. Okay. And you can plot them in the plane. Each dot is a journal. Okay. On the x-axis you have AIS. And on the y-axis you have the value for mc cube. Okay? So this is how journals are distributed in the plane of the two indexes. Okay? So the question is if the two indexes are related or not, and how. Yeah, your face is a bit perplexed. Mine was really too. Then I will tell you something. Well, one way to try to do is, okay, are they really related? It is possible to transform one into the other, for instance, with a linear transformation. Okay? You have the AIS index, you multiply it by a coefficient, so you have the constants, and you hope to get almost the other one. Is that possible? Does it that work? Is there a relationship of that kind between the two or not? One way to evaluate this is, okay, we have data. We have more than 500 data to check this. One way to do this is, okay, I don't know P and Q. Okay. I would like to find some P and Q for that, for which that relationship approximately holds. Well, one way to do is I have data. So I have, for each journal, I have this value and this value. I consider the difference between that and that for the given journal. Okay? So, if this difference is small, the relationship seems to hold. Okay? If this is close to zero. Otherwise not. Okay? One way to try to get the best values for Q, for P and Q, which give the best approximation of this kind, is to consider this difference, square them, and sum all over the items you have. Okay? And then you wish to find the values for P and Q, which minimize this quantity. So it's a function of two variables, with a lots of terms, and clearly the solution gives you the best parameters which try to provide a linear relationship between the two. This sort of problem is called the problem of linear least squares. Okay? Where linear comes from this relationship. And we will devote some effort during the course, maybe at the beginning of the second semester, I think, to these problems and some of these generalizations. In this context, okay, these are my data. I solve the problem, and I find the best values. Okay, since most of the journals are inside here, I make a zoom. Sorry. Of the most relevant area, just a few of papers are outside here. This is the best relationship you can get. The best values for P and Q gives you this relationship. So if this index is zero, the other should be here. If the index AIS has this value, the other should have this value, and so on. The relationship should be this one. Okay? Or if you want to say that, no, if one is zero, the other should be zero too. That means actually eliminating this and putting this zero. What you get is this one. Okay? So, does there exist a linear relationship between these two measures? Well, my answer is no. Okay. It looks like the points that do not concentrate along the line. Okay? I had troubles to make my colleagues get this. Mathematicians. Okay? Who said, we can do this, we can do transformation as we like. But then you go and you plot. Okay? So this is the situation in which you can solve that optimization problems, and then you have to measure somehow the quality of your result. Because these are the best approximations you can get, but are they meaningful or not? So you should have a measure to discriminate whether the answer is yes or no. So this was one application, and in the same family of least square problems, I will provide you another one. Consider this function of one variable only, t, and who has two parameters, lambda and theta. Okay? So variable is called t because generally it's time. Okay? And this is a function which has which gives you some sort of exponential decay. It started with some values and then very fastly goes to zero. It's commonly used in physics, chemistry, pharmacology, economics, also some applications in computer science. In physics, you find this sort of behavior, where t is actually time, in radiations, X and gamma rays, electric charge in instruments, the speed at which the temperature between bodies which are in contact change. In chemistry, you have that in the concentration of reagents in chemical reactions. In pharmacology, you can find some sort of exponential decay in metabolisms. In economics, some model of markets exploit this. And in computer science, you find, maybe this is more interesting to you, this sort of exponential decay is used in the Bohr gateway protocol for a technique which is called root flamping damping. I don't know if any of you know this, but it's a technique of trying to measure the reliability of roots between two points on a network, let's say on the internet. Okay? And you decide which rules to use according to some behavior which you may measure with some algorithms exploiting this type of function. I've drawn you it for a few values, okay, of the two parameters. Okay. All of them go to zero very fast. Actually, theta is the value that the function takes at zero. So for 7, it's bigger. Theta 7 is bigger than theta 5. You see, 3 of them start there at 7 and 3 start at 5. And then let's see, black, yellow. The bigger lambda is, the faster the decay is. Okay? So, and you can consider a situation like this. You have observations. For instance, in a physical or chemical situation, you make a measurement during time, okay? You measure the quantity you want and which you imagine to follow this rule of exponential decay, and you take the values, okay? Let's say this is time and this is the value that you evaluate, okay? While the data for journals were true, these are false, okay, are generated randomly, almost randomly generated on a computer. Well, I have a function which should model the behavior of this system in time, which depends on the two parameters. Which parameters give me the best approximation? Sorry, wrong way. Okay? Well, you can do the same thing as you did before. You have data, so you have Ti and Yi. Okay? You can measure the distance between the true data, Yi, and the one which would be provided by your model, which would be theta e at minus lambda ti. Okay, if the model were correct with those two parameters, that should be yi. So you take the difference, you take the square, and you sum all over your data. Okay, and you want to minimize that as a function of the two parameters. This time you have the fact that the two parameters have to be non-zero. Non-negative. So while in the previous example they were free, could take any value, so that was an unconstrained optimization problem. No constraints on the variable. While here you have, your variable have to be non-negative, so you have a constraint. And also there is another difference, that the function inside the square here is non-linear. Okay, so the previous was considered a linear least square. This is a non-linear least square, and also constraint. Okay, so Professor Bevilacqua will show you techniques for the linear case, and after that I will use his result, what he's shown you, to provide some other algorithm for the non-linear. But this will be at the beginning of the second semester. And so I think it's time to change subject.
Just a short break.
Or
yeah. I need to write something on the blackboard. So,
okay. We do a short break now, and then you start with it. Okay. So let's do a short break, 5 minutes, 5-7 minutes, and then we will be gone.